The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I've got to turn the microphone. That would help. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, prideofdetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. You know where to find us. Get us on there as we come to you live, twitch.tv/prideofdetroit, for everything you need to know about the Detroit Lions here for the most reviewed Lions podcast on the internet, which I think makes us the biggest. We will just go with that. We will not hear from anyone else about that regard. No. Not at all. And we have plenty to do for you as the what is this? This is a weird show because I am Chris Perfett, your adequate host. I'm always here at Chris Perfett on Twitter. Jeremy Reisman, fearless leader, is not here. So it feels like we are doing substitute teacher roles here. We have rolled out the cart with the old big CRT TV on it. It's got a VHS player built in. And to tell us what movie we are slapping into that bad boy, we bring in now the second man on the POD cast, Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan_POD. How are you, Ryan? And what movie are we watching today?
I'm doing well, and I think that we need to load in some kind of like National Geographic. I mean, I know that Everybody wants to jump to Bill Nye the Science Guy because they have fond memories of getting a whole class period off by watching a little Bill Nye. But I think we're going to get a little, I think we're going to get in the weeds here a little bit.
Really? So you wouldn't even do a full movie? Because when we had that treatment in my high school, I mean, granted Catholic high school, but still we could at least get to see like The Mission.
Did you guys watch Rudy?
No, we watched The Mission.
With
De Niro and Jeremy Irons.
Seriously?
Yeah, with Ennio Morricone, because it's about Jesuits.
Well, I mean, sure, why not? Let it rip.
Da, 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 da. No, we are here to talk about the Lions. Brian and I shall do an absolutely adequate job. Jeremy is taking much needed time off. We have started up... you know, he's given me the keys to this hot rod here and I'm going to crash it a little bit but you know, if you were listening, subscribed on our podcast feed on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio, you heard I did a quick 10-minute reaction to the schedule, but we haven't been able to sit down with the schedule proper yet. We really wanted to, even knowing that it's kind of at this point, we're kind of reheating it a little bit. Later on in the show, we are going to get to some talk. I know people are still talking about Tyrell Crosby. We're going to talk about it in the sense of the question of depth when it comes to the Detroit Lions and what you do with that depth in a rebuilding year. And of course, rookie minicamp was just happens. We want to talk a little bit about that and a couple of standouts from there. But Ryan, I want to start with this schedule. You are the king of the superlatives, though. You are the king of the superlatives game, and I feel like there's no better way to consume the schedule than through superlatives.
I think that makes the most sense because, like you said, Chris, we're kind of reheating this a little bit, so we gotta throw a little spice on it. We gotta salt it. We gotta pepper it. We gotta put all the good stuff. Yeah.
Get the sriracha out. It's your wonderful friend. But here's the thing: is like I love talking about the schedule. I don't buy into when people kind of crap on the schedule because it's like, oh, we've already known who we're playing. It's just a matter of when. I think when matters. Knowing when matters, knowing what games are prime time. Hey, looking at the fact that we have a bye week in the middle of the season for the first time since the Stone Age, that's good.
That is nice. That's something that you would want during... It's funny when you look at the schedule because everybody's kind of already writing 2021 off as like a wash. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like... They're getting some of these like good things like, oh, a bye week right in the middle, like where you ideally want a bye week. And it's like, oh, it's this season. OK, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this season. Rest assured, when the Lions are ready to compete again, it'll go back to week four or five. Yeah.
And there's no London trip. So it's like, oh, yeah, like no big trip over the pond. A nice bye week right in the middle. Oh, but hey, guess what? You have one of the five hardest schedules in the NFL.
Yeah, part of that comes with also something I think is also favorable to the Lions, which is, I mean, favorable but unfavorable in that you basically get all three of your road division games done before the second half of October. It just front loaded like that. But I think at this point, that would be cool in any other year where the Lions are ready to compete. But for this year, it probably means looking at the start of the schedule, you're probably looking at a 1-4 start.
Yeah, I mean, those
one
first,
in five, maybe.
Yeah, those. I mean, here's the thing. The thing that excited me most about the schedule is hearing about week one. All right. So like here's a superlative for you. The thing that got me the most excited about week one is that the Lions are playing the 49ers. And oh, what did the 49ers have that the Lions don't? Well, they have a defensive line that is one of the best in the NFL. And the Lions, spoiler alert, have spent this offseason, you know, solidifying their offensive line, putting Penei Sewell on the right side. And that offensive line is now established and it's certified and it's ready to go. And there's no waiting time. It's trial by fire right out of the gate because you're going up against Bosa. You're going up against Armstead. It's going to be quite the test for the Lions in week one. And that's honestly what they need. And that's what you want to see. Like, you want to see how NFL ready Penei Sewell is. Cool. He's going to go against, you know, some of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Yeah. And not to be too too downer on it, but they also might be playing, depending what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo, the Lions might be playing a rookie quarterback in week one, which has never backfired on the Lions ever before.
No, actually, Lions might jump out to a 1-0 start. It's awesome. but actually, like you said, Chris,
I think that game is winnable. I think when I said the Lions could start 1-4, that is the one win I could see, like a weird week one win and then going 0-3 in the division and losing to the Ravens. That's kind of how I envision the 1-4 start when I say that that's a possibility.
Yeah, those first five games are not easy by any measure.
But it's a weird schedule, too, because like we just said with the 49ers, like you don't know if they'll start Jimmy Garoppolo. You don't know if the Chicago Bears will start Justin Fields by then. I think they will. I think Andy Dalton will kind of force their hand. And who knows what's going to happen with the Packers? We're kind of in the midst of the Aaron Rodgers drama deepening as they went out and signed, I believe, your favorite quarterback, Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I mean, you want fodder for a podcast. That's something that we could spend an entire segment on later in the offseason.
Oh,
talking about the possibility and potential for Blake Bortles to take meaningful snaps as the Green Bay Packers quarterback. But and then the other thing, too, I mean, the Vikings, I mean, who knows? By week five, maybe Justin Jefferson has forced Kirk Cousins out of Minnesota and he's gotten Kellen Mond up there taking snaps. But those first five games, Chris, are... I don't want to say that like those first five games are going to decide the season because I don't know why. Looking at the schedule as a whole, it just looks like there's more. And I know there's only 1 week, but I think it's where that bye week happens. It really chunks the season up into two even chunks, so to speak. But it almost makes it seem like those first five games, yeah, they're a big, tough uphill climb. But then, you know, the Bengals in week six and the Eagles in week eight before the bye week. So it's not like those first five games are going to entirely determine the trajectory, I think, of the Lions season when it comes to a win-loss record.
Yeah, although we do know, just looking at history for the NFL, that, you know, if you start one and if you start like 2-4 or whatever, like your chances of having a meaningful season after that are very slim to none. But again, I think as we've explained, the Lions are not looking for too much of a meaningful season. And I mean, obviously you can't actively tank in the NFL and you want to see guys do well. So it's, but it's interesting to see what's going to happen. And there's some really tough out of conference games that have been racked up for the Lions. I don't know. I'm excited though for this season. I'm excited because it means we'll be back in stadiums. I'm excited for the fact that I'm probably going to get to go to SoFi Stadium, to that new monstrosity in Inglewood, and see the Lions and Stafford, and wear my salute to service Stafford jersey so nobody knows what team I'm actually rooting for there. And, you know, you get the Eagles right before the bye, and then the Steelers on the other side of it, then the Browns, Bears on Thanksgiving. It's an interesting schedule. I only wish this schedule was in a year where the Lions were probably going to meaningfully compete. I'm not going to say they won't meaningfully compete, because we might get into the season and they might be like the Carolina Panthers out of the gate last year, where they're just overperforming. I've been getting a lot of that, but I'll talk about fan confidence a little bit later here, probably on the other side of the break as a tease. But, you know, that's something that, you know, that's the thing with an NFL schedule. You just don't know what's going to happen at the end of the day.
Yeah. Week 7, Chris, against the Rams, like you said, you'll be rocking that salute to service Stafford jersey. You're actually rooting for Lockheed Martin.
Ew, that's gross. Never mind.
Yeah, you might want to change that out. What has you most excited about the first half of the schedule before the bye week, Chris? Like, if there's a game that just interests you that you want to circle, is it a matchup? Is it what about weeks 1-8 has you really excited?
So, I mean, just as a larger note, again, it's the fact that the Lions are getting all of their road division games done. You know, week two against the Packers on Monday Night Football, and then weeks, let me make sure I get this right, 4-5. So that's October 10th. You're done. That's Vikings. You're done with your road division games. The fact that we get to see the division this early, and it's a very transient division. It's a division that's really up in the air. And it was, to be honest, like the NFC East took a lot of the flack for being a bad division. But depending what happens with the Packers, this could be a bad division this year, too. So it means that this could be a fairly equal division. It means that the Lions, very fresh, are going to get to play in some imposing places in division early on. Like Lambeau on Monday Night Football is probably my answer there. If I have to exclude the Rams game, just because the storyline in the Rams game is so, so evident, so transparent right there, I would take after that probably Green Bay. And then am I allowed to like the Bengals game? For very weird reasons, am I allowed that to like that game? Because I want to see kind of, you know, who Joe Burrow is, and if a Penei Sewell-less Bengals offensive line can protect him against this Lions defense, against Alan McNeil and against Le'Veon Zawerke.
Yeah, I mean, that on top of you get to see Ja'Marr Chase, you know, a player that was obviously highly coveted by the Detroit Lions themselves. So you get to see him live in action. I think that'll be, in terms of right now looking at rosters and things like that, like that seems to be like the most competitive game that is in that that stretch of games, weeks 1-8. The Bengals seem to be, in terms of talent, in a similar place with their roster. You know, and the other thing, Chris, that's really beneficial about getting those divisional road games out of the way is that I think that might take some pressure off the players and the coaching staff on the other side of the bye week. Like it might be tough, but they're going to have time to lick their wounds, to reassess, to re-energize, and hopefully hit the other side of the bye week and the rest of their schedule, you know, in a different way. So, I'm already talking like, you know, this might be a disaster in terms of win loss records, but like, we're not concerned with that, right? Like we as Lion fans, we're not really concerned with where this team ends up in terms of win loss records, as long as it gets them Malik Willis. But like,
God, I don't think we've told have we done a podcast yet on how much you and I like Malik Willis, or is that just a Twitter thing? My weeks are blurring together in my head.
Not proper. And we will. Okay. We got plenty of time.
We've got plenty of time in the offseason to start chalking. Jeremy isn't here. So if he was, I'm sure somewhere up in upstate Michigan, he's bursting into flame with us talking about the 2022 draft already. I think even not even just as a fan, just as someone who covers the team rationally, you can tell the Lions, like, this is still a work in progress. I believe the over under was set at what I see for the win total last, I think it was 5.5 wins. It was 5.5. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a really good number. Like,
yeah, I don't want to dig 6.5.
Yeah. At 6.5, I'm taking the under. Like, at 6.5, I'm taking the under. At 5.5, I'm at least considering taking the over. And I mean, the reason the hook is tempting because, like, we've talked about week 6 Bengals, week 8 Eagles. We haven't really gotten to the second half of the schedule, but I mean, there are some winnable games.
I wonder, though, about the second half out of conference, because you say, so here's the thing, though, you mentioned how tough it'll be out of the gate. And I think we've talked before about the experience this coaching staff, being former NFL players top to bottom, will bring as far as what it means for a lot of young guys to sit through a losing schedule, something I don't think the last coaching staff really helped them with. Like, especially when your team is a work in progress, it's very hard to get guys invested. But I feel like with Dan Campbell here, you're going to get punched in the face coming out in the schedule, and you're going to get kneecaps bitten. You'll have the bye week. You'll get time to settle some guys down. Then you're going to come out of that bye week and probably get punched in the face again between the Steelers and the Browns. I think maybe one of those games is winnable, but like the Steelers, even though they laid an egg in the playoffs last year, they won 12, 13 games before anyone handed them a loss. And the Cleveland Browns, I refuse to buy into this idea that Baker Mayfield is a one shot. Like, that is still a good team in Cleveland. After that, you'll go back in your division. You'll be okay. You'll have a rough road game against the Broncos. But yeah, I think in general, it's a little more winnable on the back end. It's just a matter of how much are you still going to trust Jared Goff at that point? And I think that's one of the superlatives. We'll take a break here soon, but that's one of the superlatives I have on the other side is about Jared Goff. And it's about, I think the two things that will be tested most in the schedule is Jared Goff, and it's going to be this defense, which those are the pieces you want to test it. Because I feel like going into the 2022 draft in free agency, that's the next part of this team that needs to be rebuilt.
Yeah, I mean, that's the position that everybody was pointing at, even for, you know, the draft of, you know, a few weeks ago, was if it's not going to be Penei Sewell, there was a loud and vocal group of Lions fans that were really interested in the team taking a quarterback, and Justin Fields was there, and he wasn't the pick. So Jared Goff has a lot on his shoulders. And like you said, we'll get to that when we get to superlatives. The thing about this schedule, though, is, and the reason why it's so difficult, I think, beyond, you know, the metrics of using, you know, last year's, you know, win percentage to determine whether or not the Lions have a weak or a, you know, strong schedule, is that you look at their 14 different opponents. I would say that, like, at least 10 of them have playoff or more aspirations.
Yes.
Like, I mean, the Packers, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Browns,
you pulled the AFC North and you pulled the NFC West, two divisions that are incredibly competitive and are going to send, I think, between those two divisions, at least four teams to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You talk about, yeah, the AFC North, when it comes to the Browns, Steelers and Ravens, I mean, those three teams, it would not shock me if all of them made the playoffs. And then the NFC West, Seahawks, Cardinals and 49ers, it would shock me if those three guys didn't make the playoffs. So I mean,
and you're locking in the Rams already.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So win loss at the end of the day does not matter for the 2021 Detroit.
It's only
Lions.
Game. It's only game while you have to be mad. I think it does matter. Just I think it'll be the individual character of each game. And this 100%. Is me rationalizing here, but I think I want to take a quick break here. I've been promising for superlatives for about 15 minutes, and clearly I'm off the rails already, but we're going to do some rapid fire with Ryan on the other side. I also want to talk real quick on the other side about the difference between, I think, confidence and where I think the fan base is as far as wins. Because I do want to say I've seen some polls that indicate I think most people are being realistic, if some of the loudest voices might not say the same. But we'll take a break. We'll be right back on the Pride of Detroit PODcast.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome back to the Pride of Detroit PODcast. I think it's time for superlatives. Let's do some superlatives on the schedule. Before we dive into that, I did want to make note of several things here. The schedule, when it comes out, I see people bang on the schedule all the time, because what we're only learning is where these games are being, you know, how it's taking place, when it's taking place, and in what order. At the same time, a lot of NFL sites have ranked this Lions schedule as one of the toughest in the league. I believe I saw one place with them, I believe, 30th. Vegas is having the win total right now at 5.5 wins. On the other side of it, we do have that fans still have an incredibly high confidence in the Detroit Lions, to the effect of, I believe, we were talking 80 or 90 percentile when we ran that poll. However, when we did run a later poll on Pride of Detroit for the schedule, I believe 20%, 22% of the audience said that this team would win 5-12 games. Another 22% had it in the 4-13 range. So I think I wanted, taking those two together, I would like to say that even though you're going to see a lot of national media put down the Lions, and it will be, as with Detroit versus everybody, in your bones to react and call them losers, I won't defend them, but at the same time, it is reassuring to see, I think, from the fan base that they understand where this rebuild is at. On the other side, too, though, I also understand that at the start of the schedule, it's going to get real tough. And I think that anger at the coaching staff for losing games out of the gate will be at an all-time high, because that's more what local media can do for you. Even though we sit here on a podcast and tell you to take a long picture, there will still be some columnists and radio guys who will see the Lions probably getting the doors beat off them by the 49ers or the Ravens and say that Dan Campbell is somehow outclassed for the NFL. And all I would say is just, you know, hold your horses there. Hold your horses there. The Lions have come from a very bad spot when it comes to the team. And as we all know, with all first year coaches, it takes a lot of time. Even we mentioned the Panthers earlier, even the vaunted Panthers, who I believe we all gave a lot of props to Matt Rhule coming out of the gate strong in 2020. The Panthers, however, then turned around after that strong start, after those superlatives that we gave to Teddy Bridgewater, and finished, I believe, with only 5 wins. So,
yeah,
this is to say that every journey for a team in the NFL is different. Every journey is intriguing, and it doesn't go the right way. And the Lions have more work than I think any of us realize. So when you start to see calls for coaches being out the door, just remember that this is going to take a minute. And that's why, again, I was more in favor of something like Penei Sewell than I was in Justin Fields. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, a few things to those points that you made, Chris, because I think that when you talk about those confidence polls and you talk about where fans are kind of projecting this team to have their win-loss record be, I think people are coming around to the idea of the Lions maybe not winning a ton of games this season. And I know that we tend to stay away from like the cross, to cross like sports lines and to point at other teams. But I think the Detroit Pistons may have been a little bit of a primer for people going into this Lions season, because they're a team who finished with the second worst record in the NBA. Okay, they went 20 and 50. Okay, but there were an awful lot of competitive games where they were playing, you know, teams that are playoff teams, you know, within 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points. Okay, I'm not saying that the Detroit Pistons are going to be the poster child for rebuilds, but they had a couple of rookies who are probably going to end up on the all rookie team, and they actually gave an extension to Dwayne Casey after finishing with the second worst record in the NBA. You can feel the good things that are building around the Pistons. If this is a Lions team that goes 3-14 or goes 2-15, I could see that same kind of energy being around it.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it's different for the NBA just because it is so speculative and guys take a lot longer to grow in the NBA. But I think the sentiment is definitely shared with Lions fans. But let's just put it this way. Again, not to cross the stream in Detroit sports, but I think they're closer to the energy of the Pistons than they are of the energy of this team will rebuild and be good one day. The Lions are closer on the end of the spectrum with the Pistons than they are on this side of the spectrum that contains the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. You want to do these superlatives?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
I wish I had game show music. I'd probably throw it in the actual podcast. But all right. So I'm going to throw these to Ryan. I've come up with some questions. I've come up with some rapid fire stuff, and I want to see what Ryan thinks of them. Some of them are pretty plain. Some of them are pretty out there. And we will get to all of them here. So the first one is straight up. Ryan, I want to know, looking at this schedule, the game you want to watch the most. And when I say watch, I mean on TV. You kicking back in whatever man cave you have. And I mean, I don't think millennials have man caves. But what game do you want to watch the most with a good accounting for like, you know what? I won't even put conditions and superlative game you want to watch the most.
The game I want to watch the most, Chris, is Week 3 versus the Ravens. And that shouldn't come as a shock to anybody who knows my affinity for Lamar Jackson. I'm all in on Lamar Jackson still. If you're selling your Lamar Jackson stock, I will gladly buy it. So, you know, at me whenever you want. If you're out on Lamar Jackson, that only puts me even more in. So, you take a look at the schedule, though, and that's how I kind of, you know, this superlative question in particular, Chris, is like, which quarterback am I most excited to see? Because here's the thing with the Lions. All of us are kind of waiting with bated breath about Jared Goff and how he's going to perform. It wasn't like that when Matthew Stafford was here. When Matthew Stafford was here, it was like, you know, we're going to see that guy fit the ball into all these tight windows. He's going to make all these incredible throws, might even end up in a comeback victory. So that's exciting. That's fun. I don't know how exciting and fun Jared Goff is going to be. So I'm looking at the schedule for who are the exciting players that are coming to town. And Week 3 versus the Ravens, I'm all about that game.
I think for me, like on that flip side, it might be the Arizona Cardinals. And I hope by then Kyler Murray will be fun. Yeah. If not, that'll be a good around the holidays. Lions play several holiday games. Philadelphia Eagles at Ford Field on Halloween. Spooky. I like that.
I dig that.
And then, you know, you got Boxing Day against the Falcons, but we're not in London, so that's good. Okay, next superlative. Game you're most likely to get drunk watching.
It has to be Week 7 at Rams.
You're really going to sorrow drink like that?
I don't think it's going to be sorrow drink. I think it's just going to be like, hey, it's 4 o'clock. It's, you know, it's more socially acceptable to drink around 4 o'clock than it is around, you know, noon. I'm not going to sorrow drink. I'm excited to see Matthew Stafford with the Rams. I think it'll be an opportunity to, like, maybe even live a little vicariously through his success. But I don't know that. It's going to be more fun drinking. Like, I'm not going to be drinking like something that's going to, like, bog me down.
Okay. You say that now. It sounds like you're on to, like, a stage of grief I'm not quite sure with. Is this bargaining? It might be bargaining.
Is it? I don't know. You could be right. It's not like I want to drink Mad Dog and watch the Rams, you know, totally run over the Lions. But
I should put Mad Dog back in the blue Kool-Aid recipe.
What about you? Which game?
Well, probably Rams too. But that's mostly because I'm going to be like, you know, usually for me, these games are on at 10 in the morning. I'm coming off an overnight shift. And instead, I'm hoping to have the Rams game off. We've been talking with quite a few people about going to the game. And I know the drinks over at Hollywood Park are pretty decent. So
yeah,
that's one answer. I could also then say Monday Night Football, just because, again, I will be off. I will not be working, probably, and that means I will be able to drink. By the way, not getting a doubleheader Monday Night Football to start the season. So RIP to the Chris Berman. I don't know if we ever developed a Chris Berman drinking game, but it felt like Chris Berman getting the late Monday Night Football game was definitely a drink yourself silly game, because those were experiences.
Those definitely were experiences. One other sneaky contender is Week 12 versus the Bears. It's always, I mean, it always just makes sense to drink on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I remember in 2016 being over with my family for Thanksgiving and screaming at the TV as Darius Slay grabbed that ball.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, I remember the year before being around a bunch of drunk Eagles fans and fighting them. So that was cool, too. Let's see here. Game most likely to actually, I've skipped one game where there might actually be real kneecap biting. Not to keep beating this. So I want to beat this horse to death with this one. This is the last time I will ever do the kneecap thing, because every other time I've heard the Lions talked about on national media, it's just been kneecaps. But we wouldn't be superlatives without something like this.
No, we would not. It's going to happen early. It's going to happen early, and it's going to be against a divisional foe.
It doesn't even need to be the Lions doing the kneecap biting.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know if that necessarily changes my answer, but Week 4 at Bears. Like, there might be a personal foul penalty. It's just, it's the black and blue division, baby. It's the NFC North. It's the kind of football, that's the kind of football they play, man.
My money's on the actual division that will bite you, and that is the AFC North at Pittsburgh Steelers in Heinz Field, where the Steelers love getting away with a few calls there, and the AFC North plays very, very dirty. And I think with the Steelers, depending on what happens with their quarterback situation, it could be a rough year for them, and some guys might just be taking out frustration, and that could lead to a pretty sloppy game very quickly.
One of my favorite things about rookie minicamp was learning how Najee Harris and Travis Etienne are both like running backs that are playing wide receiver now, apparently. But Najee Harris lining up at X receiver for the Steelers because Ben Roethlisberger can't really get under center anymore.
That's good stuff.
It's one of my favorite storylines so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like one hit on Roethlisberger and everything's going to go downhill in that game.
If we get Mason Rudolph in that game, I could totally see some kneecap biting happening.
Ooh. Especially with the I'd be shocked if Rudolph ever plays again. But, you know, fair point. Game most likely to feature a streaker or a save the animals sign on the field.
Wow. Well, this kind of, you know what? We should talk about it. We should talk about it here with the Dan Campbell on Pardon My Take. He wants to have an actual lion.
Yes, he does. He wants to have like, what's the name of the lion down at LSU? Was it Mike? Yeah, it's Mike the... No, it's the Tiger.
Oh, the Tiger. Yeah,
it was Mike the Tiger at LSU, who hasn't actually gone to a game in forever. But they, I guess they give him the option. They like roll up a cage to his like enclosure down at in Baton Rouge, and he never goes in. But he could potentially go to a game, and he never does. But I do remember one time going to a Lions game that was interrupted by a... I think it was that Thanksgiving game where it was a stop killing the animals protest on the field.
Yeah. So I wonder if we're going to have an animal protester if Dan Campbell ends up talking Sheila Ford Hamp into getting a lion that he can walk around
with
during practice.
It's probably never going to happen. We're in the post Tiger King world. So there's got to be someone out there that can.
There's somebody out there to get. Yeah, to get Dan Campbell an exotic cat. All right. Yeah, if that's going to happen, I'm going to put my money on Thanksgiving again. It's a nationally televised game.
Thanksgiving is always the right point to it. I will do dark money. However, I will do dark horse favorite on that Monday Night Football in Lambeau, just because, and not step into any kind of political thing. We could still maybe get some anti-vax kind of weirdo stuff at that point, especially when dealing with Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it is what it is.
I think the money is on Thanksgiving because that's a big holiday, national TV guaranteed and everything.
What about Eagles on Halloween?
Who would I mean, maybe for like a streaker, but that's not in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is in Detroit. So if it was at Philadelphia on Halloween and there's a full moon, somebody's getting naked.
Werewolves of London. Browns might be for Streaker in particular. Browns at Cleveland might be a dark horse favorite there too.
Depends on what the Browns record is. Like maybe if they're like if they're playing like incredible football.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll get you naked.
That will get them naked pretty quick. If the Browns start the season like the Steelers did last year, there's not going to be any beer left in Cleveland.
The only thing on the dude is going to be a painted number six.
Jeez. All right. Running away from that, best game you will watch that will probably end in a Lions loss.
Ooh, okay. Best game that the Lions could play that'll end up in a loss. Week one. I am weirdly confident that the Lions are going to be a much more organized team and much more game day ready than any of the teams that we've seen over the past few years under Matt Patricia. And I know that the Lions are playing, again, a team that is 1 year removed from making it to the Super Bowl. So they're going to be heavy favorites. I know that Vegas already has them at, I think they opened up at 7-point favorites, and they're playing on the road. So I could definitely see the Lions playing that game tough and losing by like four or losing by a single score, something like that.
I think for me, it's going to be late in the season. And see, now I'm pausing a bit. I'm pausing a bit because I have multiple categories here and I'm looking at like Broncos and Seahawks and trying to figure out which one of those games could just be entertaining, but just a total disaster.
I mean, like what happens if Aaron Rodgers ends up on Denver? Then all of a sudden that game completely changes, right? So I think that's the reason why I looked early in the schedule is because I know where my expectations are now. So I'm like,
Vikings at Minnesota could be a very good game, I think, early on.
Yeah.
But that brings us to the next question I want to give you is best game. They'll probably end in a Lions win, which is, you know, obviously pretty rare, giving on our expectations right now. But where do you see the best game for a Lions win?
Oh, man, like their best chances or the game that I would like to see them win the most?
The game that will be the most entertaining to watch on the field from a neutral standpoint, but also the Lions will win. So it's the same as last question, except the Lions also win at the end.
Maybe it could end up being like a year one defining game for Dan Campbell, but maybe right out of that bye week at Pittsburgh, winning that game. I mean, Chris, you've already kind of talked about the fragility of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it really rides on whether or not Ben Roethlisberger can still throw a football. So I think I look at that game, and it's an against a premier NFL team. They're playing the Steelers. They're on the road. Who knows what their record is by then? I mean, they could be 1-7, but if they come out of the bye week and they beat the Steelers, like, everybody's going to notice that a really bad team beat the Steelers, or the Lions are kind of a middle of the road team. They end up going to Pittsburgh and they win the game. And then all of a sudden, well, now the Lions, hey, they're coming out of the bye. They're strong. I mean, I think that'd be an awesome game to see the Lions win in year one.
All right. Next question then. Worst game that will probably end in a Lions win. Something that is beyond sloppy. For me, my money is on, I mentioned Denver Broncos earlier, playing in Denver in the middle of December is, I don't know if it's going to be like the Philadelphia Snow Bowl, but that is not going to be a very good game. And the Broncos, unless they get, I'm putting aside the timelines where Denver gets Aaron Rodgers, because it seems too convenient for me to believe that. And I don't want to believe that the Broncos are going to luck into another quarterback coming to them in the end of their career. I want to believe it's going to be someone like Drew Lock and a defense that is aging and unable to get anywhere and has been beaten to death by an incredibly tough division in the AFC West, and the Detroit Lions, who have been beaten to death by the growing pains of their first year and their bad defense, just having to just slug it out in high altitude, cold weather. And I think the Lions can still win that one.
Yeah, that's the odds on heavy favorite, because it seems like on the surface that the Lions could win that game, right? A couple of other games that seem like they could really be slog it out dogfights would be, especially if you start to throw the elements into it, like if there's inclement weather week 17 at the Seahawks, like who knows what shape the Seahawks will be in.
I think that one's worse. If I don't have this as a category, but that is worst game that will result in a Lions loss. That is just going, every time the Lions play the Seahawks, it is ugly as sin, and the Lions somehow find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, that is true. And the only other game that I see in terms of weather, like you look at week 11 at the Browns, but I don't know. Everybody's hot for the Browns right now, so I don't see that as the game the Lions can really pull out.
The fact that starting in November, like you mentioned Seahawks and Broncos, but everything else, you're either playing at your home in an enclosed, nice dome, or you get a road trip to, and actually, no, you even have the Cardinals at home. Oh, it's the trip down to Atlanta, or it's a trip down to Atlanta in December, which could be still nippy a little bit, but still, it's Atlanta in December. Like, it's a pretty good weather-wise
They're in a dome, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in a dome, too. Yeah. I'm just saying, maybe it might not be crisp enough where the iris or what the bumhole or whatever you wanted to call it is going to be open. So that's a weird stadium. All right, last one.
Yeah,
and this is an important one. Game that is going to make or break your faith in Jared Goff as a starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions.
All right, so a couple of ways you can approach this, right? Like, one, my immediate inclination is to be like, which defense does it seem like Jared Goff should be able to throw the ball over the field on, and he doesn't do it? And when I'm looking at the schedule, like week 6 versus the Bengals, like, if Jared Goff can't come out of Ford Field with a win against the listless Bengals, and I know that's kind of early, that's week 6. But I don't know, like, how long is your leash with Jared Goff?
Can I make him last until the Bears on Thanksgiving? I mean, the problem is that you're coming off a short rest there against a Browns team, but it's your second time seeing the Bears defense, and you're at home. It's an important game, and it's on national TV. And not to psychoanalyze that spot, because I don't like this idea that there's, it's a big spot for Jared Goff, but all the elements should be in your favor by the end of November with this team. You're either good or you're not. And either by then, I'll be like, all right, he's done some interesting things, and I'm almost ready to put a crown on him, but not yet. I need to see him do it against a good Bears defense, and that's on Thanksgiving. Or on the other side, for the break side, is you've trudged through about most of the schedule, the first two-thirds of the schedule right now. Here is your second time seeing the Bears. You've been up and down and inconsistent, But here it is. It's a team you this is your first time seeing a divisional rival for the second time that on the schedule. And the Bears are a good defense. It's time to show that you can put it together with what you have. And if he still can't do it there after up and down, then I might totally be out after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was going to ask you in kind of a similar question, but I think you answered it, is like when the over under on when the book will be written on Jared Goff as a Detroit Lion, like that week nine bye, like that week nine bye seems like a really good spot to artificially place. Like either you're in on Jared Goff and you think that he can be something, or you're all the way out.
It really depends. It really depends, because I think some of those games, there's defenses where he can like do all right. But it might be those first three games after the bye is where I start to write the book. Mm-hmm. You know, Steelers, Browns, Bears is a tough, and then Vikings at home too. Like those four games, I might be, you know, I'll have my notes by then, pretty much.
Yeah. Woo! Superlatives, baby.
All right, we're done. We're done with
Lions
that.
Lions
football. Right. If Jeremy was here, would he be really mad at us, you think?
For doing what? Having fun?
I don't know. He's always mad at me. He's always mad at me. That's part of the charm of the POD cast. He needs to be the stern lecturer on my nonsense. But I think we are going, speaking of Jeremy, we do want to get to the actual raw news of the week. And also Amon-Ra St. Brown. I like this kid's attitude. I'm going to explain why next on the Pride of Detroit POD cast.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, wrapping up shop here on the Pride of Detroit POD cast. I ranted a little. I did a take a little bit about the schedule, and I feel like it would only be fair to me to give the floor back to Ryan, who has said to me, hey, I want to talk a little bit about Tyrell Crosby here. This is kind of the leftovers warm-up edition of POD cast, so we haven't had a chance on any of the big podcasts to talk about Crosby yet. So I feel like, Ryan, you should just tell me your thoughts on Crosby, because I think this really divided the fan base. And even some of our own staff are kind of divided on this about, you know, he's going to have a year left on his contract. You're not quite sure what he's going to do in free agency. I think at this point he's just a backup in Detroit, but you do need depth and you do need guys to play. So where do you stand on all this, and what else are you bringing to the table as we talk about this?
Yeah. So with Tyrell Crosby, for me, it becomes a matter of where is your team situated? And for a team like the Lions that are at the very beginning of their rebuild, I don't think that Tyrell Crosby is as valuable of a piece to, say, a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, who we just watched, you know, struggle mightily against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes. And how much would they have appreciated having a guy like Tyrell Crosby, who brings you like he brings you replacement level play. And I'm a big fan of Tyrell Crosby. So this isn't a thing of like me questioning his talent or either kind of, you know, overvaluing his talent or anything like that. This is a thing where I just don't think the Lions are in the position to be holding on to things that I would consider to be a luxury when they can get future assets for it. Now, obviously, people start to kind of wring their hands when it comes to, well, what is the kind of compensation you would get in return for Tyrell Crosby? None of us know that, right? None of us know how much you're going to get for Tyrell Crosby. What I mean, is it a fourth round pick? Is it a sixth round pick? I think that for the people who say hold on to Tyrell Crosby because you can get like a comp pick when he leaves in free agency, I think you're probably overvaluing Tyrell Crosby's value a little bit there. And you're also kind of relying on a team to say, hey, you've played in backup spot duty. we're going to give you a huge contract. Now, a good counterpoint to that is Vitae. Like, that was the role that he was in Philadelphia. And then Tyrell Crosby, or then I should say, and then Vitae gets a huge contract to come to play for the Detroit Lions. A counterpoint to that would be Bob Quinn, right? But there are Bob Quinns all over the NFL. All right. At the end of the day, I think that while Tyrell Crosby is valuable and he plays an important position, if either of your tackles go down, Tyrell Crosby can step in at a pinch. I don't see Tyrell Crosby's versatility when people say that he can play guard, simply because he hasn't done it. Like, yes, he's done it in practice, but he's never played it in a game. And I think that is kind of telling that the Lions they're at least listening and entertaining the idea of trading Tyrell Crosby for the, for the faction of Lions fandom that's saying, well, he can play over Vitae at guard. If that was the case, if they were looking for the best player available to play guard, they wouldn't be entertaining trade options for Tyrell Crosby, because they could just plug him in there and they could have the best part of their team be completely solidified. So I just think that at 26 years old, Tyrell Crosby, yes, he's nice to have right now, but he can go get a contract. Like, he's turning 26. He's never been a starter. Maybe he wants to go and do that. Like, now he's been passed up yet again by a new regime that drafted Penei Sewell. Like, he was figuring to be your starting right tackle. The Lions drafted Sewell. Now he's back up to that backup swing tackle. Tyrell Crosby probably has bigger aspirations than being just the backup swing tackle. If he's 26 years old and he's about to enter free agency after this year, he's probably looking for a nice sizable contract that he can get. And he hasn't had the chance to do that yet. So why wouldn't he want to entertain the idea of free agency? And if you're getting to that point, just go ahead and trade him right now while a team maybe, wants a starting right tackle, or a team, like I said, like the Chiefs, who need depth at that position. That's where I'm at with Tyrell Crosby. Like, he's expendable. Like, I don't think that he's something that you need to hoard.
I'm right sympathetic. Now. Yeah, I'm sympathetic to the complaint I've seen from Lions fans, in that you want to reward guys like Crosby, who have stuck with your organization and performed well and is essentially homegrown talent. But I feel like in this case, you reward Crosby by letting him go somewhere where he can prove that he's a starter, that he's, still a starter, and that he should deserve starter money somewhere. You don't, prove it to him by keeping him, as you say, basically number two on the depth chart. And yeah. I know that kind of brings the question of what depth is the Lions. And again, it's a nice thing to have, but obviously you don't want to. Again, I feel like it's just to do right by Crosby, you let him go somewhere right now, especially again in a year that's just, I'm not saying the Lions should get rid of every piece they can, because that's kind of antithetical to my idea of anti-tanking anyway, is that you still want to build a decent roster when you're rebuilding in the NFL. But I think it's almost too much of a luxury to hold on to a third good tackle like that. And again, it's just what's right for Crosby.
Didn't we just have this conversation about Kerryon Johnson?
This is the Stafford conversation too.
Yeah, in a sense, it is the Stafford conversation, because it's about honoring what that player wants, and who knows what Tyrell Crosby wants. But this is another thing where I think the Kerryon Johnson thing was done in good faith. Like, instead of holding on to him throughout the entire duration of training camp, he had a chance and an opportunity to link up with a team that he can, hit training camp with, the ground running, and you can do the same thing with Tyrell Crosby.
So let's talk a little bit about rookie training camp. Mini camp, obviously no Penei Sewell, tested positive for COVID. We wish him well. I think most people's scatterbrained opinions on him has been, let's just say I did not like Twitter that day.
Yeah, Chris, the Lions obviously should have drafted Rashawn Slater, right?
No, stop that. Stop that. Oh my God. Listen, everyone gets the vaccine a different time. But we did have rookie minicamp, and there were some interesting notes from there. For me, obviously, and this is going to get me the cries of Chris is a USC guy, but Amon-Ra St. Brown definitely caught my head. where he's out there saying he's ready to take someone's job, which maybe that's still in line with Jamal Williams' positive competition. It's very aggressive, but that's basically been Amon-Ra's whole life, is playing aggressive. The Lions had him line up, I think it was against, who was it? It was an undrafted free agent rookie. Jerry Jacobs. And St. Brown just torched him. Offensive players in the sidelines went nuts. But I think the big note about Amon-Ra is that if you were looking for a wide receiver to run technical routes in this league, he showed that at minicamp that he's ready to do that. That there's not going to be much of an acclimation period, which for me, even as just a Lions guy and not a USC guy, it gives me hope, because this wide receiver bench, there's quite a few of them there, but it's not really that deep. And I want to believe in the upside on Amon-Ra St. Brown still.
Yeah. And I think even like our own Eric Schlitt, like you mentioned, St. Brown being that like route running technician that a lot of people were kind of hyping him up to be. So it was nice to see him, kind of fill the expectations that I think people had for him. And you know what? The last time we heard big things about a wide receiver in minicamp, I remember a young Kenny Galladay. I remember Kenny Galladay at minicamp making a big impression. So yeah, that kind of stuff gets me fired up. One of the things that I really also, grabbed my interest from minicamp too, Chris, was Eric's comments about how much looser and the vibe was just different in terms of, players, their attitudes, the coaching staff's attitudes. Like things seemed like it seemed like football was like a little bit more fun, in the sense that it was still competitive and, they were still. They're still getting after it, but it seemed like it's a departure from years past with Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn.
I think half of that has to do with the coaching staff, and again, half of it probably is the guys they drafted. Just at the end of the day, I think it's just a good combination of that. There's also a lot of undrafted rookies here too that have come in and are getting their chance, and they're playing with a lot of fire and energy. And I think that
that's where you get some
competitiveness, but again, to Jamal Williams' point, positive competitiveness. Mm-hmm. You're seeing guys explode on the sideline. And as I said, there's a lot of wide receivers sitting out there, be it Tom Kennedy or Jonathan Adams or Javon McKinley, who, I mean, maybe I still think McKinley makes the roster just given the money that was kicked to him. Mm-hmm. Outside of receivers, was there anyone that kind of impressed you?
Just from Eric's notes, like, saying that Jamar Jefferson looked quicker than expected. Maybe that's something that the coaching staff looked at and said, hey, like this guy is probably ready to be RB3. And that's why we can afford to move on from a guy like Kerryon Johnson. Mm-hmm. But it really seems like for the most part, like the skill position players, especially like during minicamp and stuff, it seems like those are the kinds of guys that get all the rub and they get all the press, because they're playing in the one-on-one drills, like wide receivers against corners.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see linemen when they're not wearing pads and get excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a little different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I think it's cool, too, because, again, just I think it's, again, a point to, and I'm trying not to gas at the Lions too much here, but I have said in multiple places how much I like having former players as coaches. And not guys who, played 2 years of ball at like an FCS school and then sits as like analysts, quality control analysts for 20 years that, mm-hmm. Like maybe it's me just be seeing like, oh, right. Yeah. We have Antoine Randall L as a wide receivers coach. That's cool. That's awesome. Maybe these kids think it's awesome, too, because they probably remember seeing him play in the league.
Yeah. and like the Lions, like you just mentioned, Antoine Randall L. But even Mark Brunell, and that was the interesting thing about rookie minicamp, is that the Lions didn't have a quarterback. So in those situations, like Brunell and Antoine Randall L, and then eventually the quality control coach, Tanner Engstrand, like all those guys were throwing footballs. So it's like, I don't know. That's just like, it's fun. It's cool.
No, that's cool. It sounds almost like high school a little bit, just a little closer to your age groups and being able to just have fun out there, man. And I think part of it too, maybe it's the COVID year again, just everyone being cooped up and everything. And we're out here at rookie minicamp just slinging around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that energy is going to help carry me, though, through this Lions season, because, again, we've talked the schedule and it's ear off here. But man, you just hope that energy stays there right now as a fan and as someone who just wants to cover the team, too, that this team stays fun, because this team should be fun.
Football should be fun.
Football should be fun. Anything else?
I think we just put a pin in it beautifully.
Really? Aside from me just bombing and saying anything else, probably.
Adequate.
Very adequate. And with that adequacy, we leave you here. I am Chris Perfett. Follow me on Twitter at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T, the purring ferret from Jamal Williams, and adequate host. Ryan Matthews, the third man and the rock god, at Ryan_POD. Jeremy will be back from vacation, I think, from the next POD cast. I'm still working on our first bite podcast. No promises yet, but hoping to talk some Ella McNeil when we do that. If not, we'll probably do something in its place. There will still probably be a first bite. And we're kind of in the pits of it. We've talked, I think, a little bit before on what we are going to do for ListCast, and it's coming up very quickly. I almost want to do tier cast, doing like S tier, A tier, B tier. But
I can be talked into that.
Let us know at Pride of Detroit what if we can like help switch up ListCast a little bit. Let us know. But until then, thank you guys. Make sure to follow us on Twitch for when we go live. As always, see you, Starside.